Jesus. Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. And I could smell that smell really strong right here. Rosa Sharon. Nobody else could smell that but me? Wow. We thank you for being with us today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing in a time like this, Lord. We thank you that you're empowering us, that you're giving us more revelation. We thank you, Lord, that you're using us in these last days like never before. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for just pouring out your spirit on all flesh, as it says in Joel 2. So, Lord, we thank you. Fill me up right now, Holy Spirit. Let the words come out of my mouth, the words that you would like to say. And Lord, we just praise you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to tell you, I got this message last week. Okay? So it's extremely timely. Now, the name of my message today is the Two Kingdom Realms. It starts off, open up your Bibles to Hebrews 12, 26. Hallelujah. It says in Hebrews 12, 26, the earth was rocked at the sound of his voice from the mountain. But now he has promised, once and for all, I will not only shake the systems of the world, but also the unseen realms in the heavenly realm. Now this phrase, once and for all, clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking, that is the old order. So only what is unshakable will remain. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights his heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe. For our God is holy, devouring fire. Everything is being shaken that can be shaken on the earth and in the heavens. The world is falling apart right before our eyes. The amount of sin and evil in this world is erupting in the earth, and the systems are coming apart at the seams. The earth just can't take any more of the sin. It says the wages of sin is death. We see the signs of the times we're living in. Let's hear from Jesus this morning and what he said to his disciples about the last days. I know we looked at this many times, but I need to go here today. Matthew 24, 4. Matthew 24, starting in 4. It said, Jesus answered at the time, deception will run rampant. They were asking him the question, what is the supernatural sign should we expect to signal your coming in the completion of this age? Right now, we're still in the church age, the age of grace. Jesus answered, at this time, deception will run rampant. So beware that you are not fooled. For many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, I am God's anointed, and they will lead many astray. You will hear of wars nearby and revolutions on every side with more rumors of wars to come. Don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of the world systems is destined to happen. But it won't yet be the end. It will still be unfolding. Nations will go to war against each other and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportion, horrible epidemics and famines in place after place. This is how the first contractions and birth pains of the new age will begin. Just like a pregnant woman, when we get examined and we find out we're pregnant, the doctor just gives us a due date. Most of the time, we never have that baby on the due date. Okay? So we don't know when Jesus is going to come back for us. Okay? But anyway, let me finish here. You can expect to be persecuted, even killed, for you will be hated by all the nations because of your love for me. Then many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another, hate one another, and many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. But keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of the heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with demonstration of the reality of God. And after this, the end of the age will arrive. Now let's turn to Luke 21:20. Here's some more signs. Luke 21:20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know for sure that its devastation is imminent. At that time, all who are living in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those who live inside the city gates go out and flee, and those who live outside the city must not enter it, seeking refuge. For these are the days of God's vengeance to fulfill what has been written against Jerusalem. It will be extremely difficult for pregnant women and for those nursing little ones in that day, for there will be great persecution and wrath against this nation. Many will be cut down by the sword or scattered as prisoners in many countries, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by nations until the days of the world empires come to an end. Expect to witness amazing, perplexing signs throughout the universe with the sun, the moon, and the stars. The raging of the sea will bring desperation and turmoil to many nations. Earthquakes will bring panic and disaster. What men see coming to the earth will cause the fear of doom to grip their hearts. For they will even see the powers of the heavenly realm shaken. And at last, when you see how the Son of Man comes surrounded with a cloud, with great power and miracles in the radiance of his splendor, and with great glory and praises, it will make you jump for joy, for the day of your full transformation has arrived. Jesus gave his disciples this parable. Haven't you observed the fig tree or any tree that when it buds and blooms, you realize that the season is changing and the summer is near? In the same way, when you see these prophetic signs occurring, you realize the earth is yielding to the fullness of God's kingdom realm. I assure you, the end of this age will not come until all I have spoken comes to pass. Earth and the sky will wear out and fade away before one word I speak loses its power or fails to accomplish its purpose. Then it says, be careful that you never allow your hearts to grow cold. Remain passionate and free from anxiety and the worries of this life. Then you will not be caught off guard by what happens. Don't let me come and find you drunk or careless and living like everyone else. For that day will come as a shocking surprise to all, like a downpour that drenches everyone, catching many unaware and unprepared. Keep a constant watch over your soul and pray for the courage and the grace to prevail over these things that are destined to occur, and that you will stand before the presence of the Son of Man with a clear conscience. Another familiar scripture in Luke 21:28, it says, but when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near, meaning Jesus is coming soon. Glory to God. So in the last days, Jesus said, this is what we will see before the rapture and the close of the church age, the age of grace. Some of these things are happening, or they did happen already, or happening now even, as we know. And some of these things haven't happened yet. I took a list, from the scriptures we just read, and also 2 Timothy 3:1. So here's the list. Deception, wars and rumors of wars, panic, fear, all the world systems, including the United States, breaking apart, and that includes financial, military, all governments and all nations, religion and education. Earthquakes, 4.8, April 8th, tomorrow. Is that a sign? I'm going to read to you Exodus 4:8. It says, and it shall come about that if they did not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. Tomorrow is the last, probably, that we will see that type of eclipse. Okay? And as any of you have been following any of these things, the first one happened in 2017, and it went from the East Coast, the West Coast over, and I don't remember where it ended, but it went through seven cities called Salem, which was 7 years of peace. The one tomorrow, excuse me, is going from Eagles Pass, Texas, all the way up, and it's going to make an X. Yes, Eagles Pass. And that is going through cities that are called Nineveh. I believe it's a warning from the Lord that people need to repent. It's a wake-up call. God is getting people's attention. I saw a little segment on TV the other day about after the earthquake and it shook in New York, the people were coming out in the streets and they were scared. And they said, we got to get back to church. So, how many felt the earthquake? Everybody felt it. Well, you were in your truck?
I thought it was a truck.
Oh, you thought it was a truck. Well, I was sitting on the couch. I thought we got bombed because the whole house shook, but there was a sound. I can't describe it. It was weird. And then I thought, oh, maybe a plane is going to crash, like over my head, like, you know, and it was because planes go over my house. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say it was an earthquake. And sure enough, it was an earthquake. Yeah, 30 of them. Amazing. So we are in the last days, okay? So let me finish my list. Okay, so earthquakes. Oh, and let me say this. Plagues. There's millions of locusts coming out of the ground over in some of the states. I don't think it's coming over here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So plagues, signs, and cosmic disturbances in the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Jerusalem is going to be attacked. We have to keep our watch on Israel. The nations are coming against her. There's talks about war with Iran now. Pray for peace. Gospel will be preached to all the nations. Every people group has got to hear the gospel before the end can come. The powers of the heavenly realm is being shaken. That is Satan's kingdom too. False teachers, sin and lawlessness, Christians falling away, hearts growing cold, being portrayed by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, and friends because of your faith in God. The culture of society will change. That's already happening. Self-centered lovers of themselves obsessed with money. Arrogance and pride. Mock what is right and haters of what is good. People ignoring their own families, disloyal to them. Man, I'm seeing a lot of that. Disobedience towards parents. Ungrateful and ungodly, hateful and malicious liars. They delight in the pleasures of the world more than the pleasures of loving God. People pretending they respect God, but they want nothing to do with God's power. Gross acts of immorality, lust, homosexuality, slave traders of all kinds. Corrupt minds and corrupt acts. Antichrist spirit leading up to the actual Antichrist, and the third temple in Jerusalem must be built. There is only two kingdom realms, the kingdom of God, which is unshakable, and the kingdom of Satan, which is shakable. Satan's kingdom is the dark side, and it has its own government system. Remember, though, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, took the keys, took their weapons and their authority over us, and this is found in 1 John 3:8. And Colossians 2:13 to the end. But Satan and his demons continues to tempt and try to destroy mankind. Satan and the demons have no power when they are confronted by God's power. They have to obey God, and they are subject to, and they are under the feet of believers who take authority over them. And Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the principalities, against the authorities, the powers, against the powers, the rulers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms, or the high places." This is the heavenly realms of the unseen world. I have them listed in order of rank. Of course, Satan is the god of the darkness of the world systems over the nations. He uses the governments of this world to do his bidding. He's always done that. Go all the way back to the Old Testament. All the evil, he tries to gain power to control, destroy, to do evil acts, and to cause corruption. He influences people who want power and money. He wants to destroy God's kingdom realm and God's people. He wants to try. Let me just keep saying that. He wants to try to also destroy all of mankind and the earth that God has created for man. Satan's command post is the realm of the principalities where Satan rules. The first rank, the principalities, are his generals. They are over regions and all the fallen angels who are demonic beings. They are all ordered to do what Satan and the generals want. The second rank are the powers and the authorities. These are the evil spirits that have power and authority by Satan to try to bring destruction upon the universe. The third rank are the rulers of darkness over geographic areas where they abide and work. They are the rulers of this age. They influence trends in the cultures and societies. They are abominations. They are in charge of stopping the works of God, like, for example, when Daniel was praying for 21 days for an answer. And the prince of Persia, which is one of the rulers over that, the darkness over that region at the time, he withstood, causing delay. And Michael, the archangel, came to help Daniel to fight the prince, the ruler of darkness, to bring Daniel's answer to his prayer. And we also have the angels of God and his ministering angels to help us in this world, to fight for us and protect us as we pray and believe God for our answers. Hallelujah. The fourth rank, is the forces of evil and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These forces operate in the heavenly places. They are spirits that work day and night to carry out Satan's plans to destroy mankind and especially try to destroy the church. These are the enemies that we fight off every day, and we take authority over them. Bible tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from us. And cast down every evil imagination and evil thought, taking them captive. Take those thoughts, cast them out, say, no, I am not going to listen to you. These spirits come through evil thoughts, temptations, oppression, obsession, and the absolute worst is demon possession, and they want to enter into and occupy human bodies. As I studied this out, I found that there are many references. There's 56 references to demons and devils, 6 references to evil spirits, 23 references to unclean spirits, 14 references to demon possession. These spirits, they try to get into a heart of man, the mind of man, and the flesh of man. The Lord's thoughts towards us are good, but Satan's thoughts are against us for evil of every kind. The Lord has given us all the tools and the authority to put all the works of Satan under our feet, to stop, dismantle, and destroy all the demonic works. Our God gave us the weapons that we need for protection and authority. When we put on all the armor of God and using it, including the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word, the Holy Spirit's power that's in us, and worship in prayer, and knowing who we are in Christ, they are all important. And Satan and his demons absolutely hate it. They run. And I want to see him run. Just like I smell that smell right now, I want to see him run when we take that authority. Now let's look at the unshakable kingdom. The kingdom of God, the muscle car. Okay, the kingdom of God, living in the kingdom of God, also has its own government. Jesus has the government on his shoulders. And let me read Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. This is talking about Jesus here. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Hallelujah. His government is the Word of God. This book is his government. every rule and his ways of doing things are in this book, and it is all righteous. We must live by and be obedient to his government rule. He is our King, Jesus. He is our Lord of Lords. But of course, we still must obey the laws of the land. But we must put God first. Amen? You have to see ourselves living in a kingdom. We're not used to that. We're not used to having a king. And it has its own rules, but there's protection. There's a lot of things that go with a kingdom, which I'll get to in a second. When we live obedient in his kingdom, and in his kingdom, we receive all of the benefits of our inheritance in the kingdom, which includes total salvation of every kind, all healing of every kind, peace, prosperity, security, protection, power, and authority when we are living in God's kingdom. Some Christians are satisfied just being saved. They aren't living in the fullness of the kingdom of God. They aren't receiving everything that the King has for them. They have no revelation of who he is. In 2 Timothy 3, 5 through 7 says they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Religion has no power. It's legalistic, it's condemning, and it has no love, and it doesn't have the whole truth. They use repetitious prayers that have no meaning, and they have no relationship with Jehovah God. Only the strong in the Lord are going to be able to stand in these times, because they renewed their minds with the word. They know who they are in Christ because they live in the kingdom. They know who their God is. They have a belief system of faith. When any trial, attack comes, they know that they will be delivered. People that live in the kingdom of God can stand in the fiery furnace when it gets really hot. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men and one more were in that furnace with them. In Daniel 3:17, King James Version says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And will he deliver us out of thy hand?" God was with them in the furnace. And when they came out alive, not a burn, not a scratch, no smell of fire, because they didn't bow to the enemy, and they had faith that their God would save them. When people come out of serious car accidents without being killed, without a scratch, any bodily wound or pain, they are people that are living in the kingdom of God. When you're thrown in the lion's den to be eaten alive, God intervenes, just like Daniel. A deceitful decree was brought forth by King Darius that anyone caught worshiping other than him shall be put to death. Daniel was caught by the king's court. They caught Daniel worshiping God. Daniel's punishment was to be killed in the den of the lions. Daniel not only survived, but was found to be without injury. He stated an angel of God came and shut the mouths of the lions. Doesn't matter what is going on. The word says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, ever. And when we're going through a storm in our life, and Jesus says to you, you're going to the other side, and you do, you're living in the kingdom of God. Supernatural powers of the kingdom of God overpowers the natural and the demonic realms. Now let's turn back to Matthew 24:29. And before this scripture, it says previously, people are going to say that the Son of Jesus, the Son of Man, Jesus will appear over here and over there. Jesus says, don't be deceived and don't believe, because he is coming back in the clouds or the sky. The way he ascended, that is the way he's coming back. So let's look at Matthew 24:29. Okay. Then immediately this is what will take place. The sun will be darkened and the moon give no light. The stars will fall from the sky and all the cosmic powers will be shaken. Then the sign announcing the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn over him, and they will see the Son of Man appearing in the clouds of heaven, revealed with mighty power, great splendor and glory. And he will send his messengers with a loud blast of the trumpet, and with a great voice they will gather his beloved chosen ones by the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Then it says, now learn the lesson from the parable of the fig tree. When spring arrives and it sends out its tender branches and sprouts leaves, you know that ripe fruit is soon to appear. So it will be with you, for when you observe all these things taking place, you will know that he is near, even at the door. I assure you, the end of the age will not come until all I have spoken comes to pass. The earth and the sky will wear out and fade away before one word I speak loses its power or fails to accomplish its purpose. It says the same thing in just what it says in Luke. But let's continue here in 36. Concerning that day and the exact hour, no one knows when it will arrive. Not even the angels of heaven, only the Father knows. For it will be exactly like the days of Noah when the Son of Man appears before the flood. People lived their lives eating, drinking, marrying, having children. They didn't realize the end was near until Noah entered the ark, and then suddenly the flood came and took them all away in judgment. It's going to be an unexpected day. And then it goes on, the righteous will be taken and the others left, which we all heard about that. But it continues to say to us in 43, but realize this, if a homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would come to rob his house, he would have been alert and ready and not let his house be robbed. So, this is what Jesus is saying today. So always be ready, be alert, and be prepared, because an hour when you're not expecting him, the Son of God will come. Hallelujah. So Jesus is giving us the warning about the signs of the last days. He says, like I said, do not fear, be faithful to him, always be ready, be alert, be in faith, stay awake, be prepared, ask for discernment, very important. We need discernment today. Always keep yourselves filled in the Holy Spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit, don't stop praying. Keeps us sharp. If we're living in the kingdom of God, we will have no fear or worries. Matthew 7:33 says, chase after the realm of God's kingdom and his righteousness that proceeds from God, and everything that you have need of will be given to you. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, all the signs of these last days can be an open door for us to evangelize, because we have proof in the written word of God that Jesus is coming back, and they need Jesus before it's too late. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you feel special? We're all living in the last days for such a time as this. Ove. We never know from day to day what's going to happen. That's why it says to be prepared. Like I said, I thought I was getting bombed. Like we got bombed somewhere close. Yeah. So, yeah. What are the unsaved thinking? Do they remember going to church and hearing a message like that some time ago, and the seed was planted, and now they're thinking about it? You know? Well, hallelujah. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the signs of the times. And Lord, we thank you that we have discernment and we're filled in the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving us power, greater power, bigger engines inside of us, Lord, so we could run this race. Ooh, I see a shifting. Okay, let's shift the gears, people. Come on now. This is a serious time. Lord, we thank you for all the unsaved out there. That's what's on your heart, Lord. I know it. Lord, you're concerned about all the saved people coming into the kingdom. So we call them in from the north, from the south, from the east, and the west. All the prodigals that have left. We call them back into your kingdom, Lord. You see them far off, but you're calling them back. You see them coming back. So, Lord, we thank you that the harvesters are out, and we are the harvesters. So, Lord, put that in our hearts. Put the love that you have for people, Lord, inside of us, so great, so big, that we will stop for even just one to minister to that one, Lord, that you direct our paths to. So, Father, we thank you for great favor and open doors. We thank you, Lord, that you will provide everything we need in these last days. Lord, we thank you that when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. We thank you, Lord, that when we pray with people, that things that they're asking for and have need of, a revelation will come to them quickly. Lord, you said in the last days you're going to pour out your spirit on all flesh. So, Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit just starts flowing throughout this whole region, all the way from Phillipsburg and a little bit into Jersey, all the way over through Easton, Lehigh Valley, and beyond. And, Lord, we thank you for a move of God that is coming, the Great Awakening, the Great Awakening. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.